And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. 4 minutes past nine on this Wednesday, the 17th of September, 2025. You're very welcome along to another 9 till noon show. We're here with you for the next 3 hours. So hopefully you'll stick around and beyond, of course, as you routinely do. We've got loads lined up on the show today, but still plenty of space if you've got something that you want to talk about, an issue you want to raise, some good news you wish to pass on. 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25000. Or give us a call on 074 91 25000 or email comments at highlandradio.com. And had a great night last night down in the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town for the Garda Youth Awards 2025. You'd have heard them launched on this show by Garda Grania, and we discussed them routinely throughout the course of the year, and it all led up to a wonderful night last night. And I must say, by the way, a big thanks to everyone at the Abbey Hotel who looked after us so well, and the food was absolutely delicious. But what it was all about, really, not the food, although that was a nice bonus, it was about celebrating the amazing achievements of some amazing young people who are a sample, really, of the youth in our county out there today. From every corner of the county, from Donegal Town to Tory Island and everywhere in between, we heard remarkable stories of young people who are engaging with their community, be it working to supply medical equipment, whether it's to improve road safety, whether it's risking their own safety to save another person's life, or improving the life of older people, encouraging intergenerational interaction. And it was just absolutely fantastic. A big round of applause to all the Gardaí involved in that process. And it was a fantastic night, and there was loads of pictures taken, and I'm sure the Gardaí will be posting them on their website at some point, and we can republish them on our social medias at some point. But it was fantastic, and I hope everyone that was there enjoyed themselves. Our own Kevin Fury was there providing music as well, and it was just a great, great night. And what ultimately it was about, sorry to reiterate it, it was just celebrating our amazing young people and those amongst them that, you know, do so much for other people and the community. So fantastic. Well done. Roll on 2026. And Supermax as well, by the way, I must say. Supermax are the sponsors of it, and they help to make sure it happens. And there was lots of great conversation, great crack, and I hope everyone, as I say, there enjoyed it, because we certainly enjoyed being a part of it. Right, let's get to some of the newspapers. We'll start with the Finn Valley Voice. Two sisters from Donegal, Margaret and Paula Martin, who were sexually abused as children by a priest, hope that an apology from the diocese will help them move forward in their lives. The Diocese of Raphoe officially apologised to the sisters, who were victimised by former priest Con Cunningham. We encourage others who are suffering in silence to come forward and find the support you deserve, they said. And we had both Margaret and Paula on the show yesterday. And what I'm going to do later on this evening, because I think it was a very important thing that they did, and it's important that people hear it, we're going to package that and put it out as a live stream later on this evening. We had the Tyrconnell Tribune's John McAteer, who broke the story and was very important in helping the sisters get to where they are today. John McAteer was on explaining the background to the story, and then we were joined by Paula and Margaret, who outlined their journey towards the apology. So it was a very interesting piece. Not everyone can listen all of the time, so it might suit people better to watch that this evening. So I'm going to stream that out as a sort of 50-minute special on our social medias a little later on today, just in case you missed it. But it's important that it reaches as many people as is possible. On to the Nationals, the Irish Times now, and pressure is mounting on the international community to take action after a UN commission of inquiry announced yesterday that Israel is carrying out genocide in Gaza. So this is the UN commission that is stating this. It's been a long time coming, perhaps too late, but an important intervention nonetheless. The inquiry's findings coincide with Israeli forces announcing a ground offensive into Gaza City, calling it a new phase of the operation. Heavy airstrikes have been widely reported in the city. Gaza is burning, Israel's defense minister, Israel Katz, posted on X. The IDF is striking with an iron fist at the terrorist infrastructure. We will not relent, and we will not back down until the mission is completed. So it's astonishing, really, the different takes on this. So you've got the UN Commission saying this is genocide, and yet you have the Israeli Defense Minister proudly stating that Gaza is burning. A humanitarian worker inside Gaza, who asked not to be named for security reasons, says mass displacement continues and there is a real sense of panic. Well, of course there is. And I can't imagine what it must be like to be in that scenario for a moment. Spinal surgery waiting lists continue to grow. This is the Irish Independent, an important story here, because we were promised that no child would have to wait too long, and yet here we are, it's going in the other direction. The number of children waiting for spinal surgery continues to rise, but only 7 have been referred abroad for treatment this year. There are 135 children on the waiting list for spinal surgery, an increase from 108 at the start of the year. This is despite a legal instruction from the government to the HSE in January that all children who are waiting more than 4 months should be offered a care package in London or New York. The number waiting for more than 3 months has increased from 72 to 83 since January, and unfortunately, we know all too tragically that the sooner this surgery is carried out, the better the outcomes. Political pressure on coalition leaders is increasing over a series of broken promises on the issue. The figures were provided in response to a parliamentary question submitted by Sinn Féin spokesperson on health, David Cullinan, who said the number of referrals is shockingly low. Moving on to the Irish Daily Mail now, and they have a presidential story of sorts. Presidential hopeful Catherine Connolly has claimed Social Democrats TD Owen Hayes should not be denounced for dressing in blackface, saying, "We've all said racist things." Miss Connolly is backed by the Social Democrats in her bid to become Ireland's next president, and it's going to be interesting because my understanding is Sinn Féin will decide on Saturday what their plan of action is. And I suppose there's two options now at this point. One, to back Catherine Connolly, which would be an incredible boost to her campaign. There's no doubt about that, and would show a unity of the left, I think, to some extent. Or to throw the hat into the ring, most likely, I suppose, Piers Doherty at this point, and contest it themselves. I would say the money's on them backing Catherine Connolly just to give her candidacy a boost as we head towards polling day. That would be where my money would be. But we shall see. They might choose to run some of themselves. I just don't think it would be the right thing for that party, personally speaking, at this time. Well, speaking at the Ploughing Championships yesterday, Ms. Connolly said Mr. Hayes was apologising profusely and was clearly sorry for his actions, she remarked. He regrets what he said, and he said he learnt from it. If we go more general than that, we've all said and done things in our lives, and we've said many racist things in our past that we didn't even think were racist. But as a 22-year-old not so long ago, I mean, you know, darkening your face to pretend to be a black person, you knew it was bad at that point. But that being said, you know, what she's saying, perhaps there is a little bit of common sense to it, but not everyone who may have done bad things in the past is earning over 100 grand, had shares in a company that was associated with Israel and was pictured doing so, and was the head of a union at that time. So I get where she's coming from. It's quite a generous pass, I think, from her for Owen Hayes to sort of call us all racist because he was caught out. But anyway, that's her line. We've covered this, of course, but it's in the national papers today, and I think it's well worth mentioning, of course. A sister of one of the 10 people killed in the Chrysler explosion has said victims' families have been left in the dark about what caused it nearly 3 years ago. No official explanation has been given for the blast, which ripped through a service station in the Donegal village on the 7th of October 2022. Jessica Gallagher, 24, a fashion graduate, was amongst those who died, and her older sister Lisa said bereaved relatives need answers. She said, "No one seems to be willing to help us to find out why our family members and our loved ones are dead. It's not just for me, for my family, it's for the entire Chrysler community." And as I say, we have carried those comments before, but because it's being widely carried in the newspaper, a thought important to mention. The Irish Daily Sun has a a report from an inquest, and a married couple planned their own deaths weeks before their bodies was found, this inquest heard. They also left a recording for the family saying, "We've been together in life, now we are together in sleep." Tony and Phyllis Gilbert, both 83, were found dead in their home in Kenmare, County Kerry, on November 14th, 2021, an inquest in Tralee was told yesterday. The alarm was raised by their daughter-in-law, Beryl, who had arrived with their shopping and found a note pinned to the front door. The note read, "All going to plan, we should be dead," and asking Gardaí to be notified. The note, which warned the finder not to go into the house, also indicated there was a key in the flower pot beside the door. And I just read that because you might remember that story, and I do remember that note and the phraseology and what have you. It's hard to imagine, it's as far back as 2021, but that inquest has come to a conclusion now. And I get a sense of this finally in the Irish Daily Star, and particularly with young people, many young people who are focusing on their fitness or focusing on having a car or maybe even saving for the future, that they're drinking less. And also we're seeing more and more people now drinking 0.0 lager. Don't know the point of that because it doesn't taste really nice. I don't think alcohol tastes nice, to be honest with you. You can also get the headaches and stuff. But anyway, listen, if that's what people are choosing to do, that's good. Reading on here, more Irish people than ever are ditching the booze for a sober, curious lifestyle, which includes going to pubs but not drinking alcohol. New research shows that Ireland is now in the top five countries for searches on sobriety, while sales of alcohol-free beer went up by 25% last year. A spokesperson said data from Google Search Trends has highlighted the growing interest in alcohol-free choices and sober social activities. And as I say, I think I do see more and more of that. There's no real drinkers in our house now anymore, really. They're more interested in, as I say, careers and vehicles and keeping fit, and as I say, you see more and more of it. All right, anything in there that catches your ear and you want to have a comment, let us know. 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call at 074 91 25000. Sorry to be jumping over my words, but I genuinely had a terrible night's sleep last night. You can of course email comments at highlandradio.com, and that works too if you are listening to the podcast or our overnight repeat. We'd love to hear from you. And of course, if you want to as well, it might suit you for many reasons. Maybe you're too busy, maybe you're not fantastic at typing or spelling. We don't care about that, by the way. This is a completely inclusive and judge-free zone. But what I'm getting to is that voice notes might suit you to express your opinion or get your point across. We love your voice notes too, to WhatsApp on 086 60 25000. And let's say good morning to David. Hi, David.
Good morning, Greg.
Thanks for messaging in. Thanks for coming on. And this focuses on Dunloe. What did you observe, David?
Well, I was in West Donegal over the weekend there. I was staying over, and we popped into Dunloe just on Monday before lunchtime, and we were just having a bit of a walk around. I mean, the town was pretty quiet, obviously, on a Monday. But having said that, I don't think the tourist season is quite over yet. You know, I see an awful lot of motorhomes still around. A lot of them, you know, French and German and so on. And a lot of foreign cars still around. But anyway, to get to the point, what I noticed was the public toilets locked up. And I thought, first of all, I thought to myself, this is, I suppose, is something pretty trivial and not much to be getting on to Highland Radio about. But then my wife reminded me, she said, there's a bus stop very, very close to the loos in Dunloe. And she said to me, she said, imagine there's somebody traveling on that bus there. Maybe they've been on the bus for a couple of hours or whatever. They get off the bus, they want to use the loo, and they come up. There's padlocks on both doors, ladies and gents. And I just thought to myself, you know, I like Dunloe. I've always loved going to Dunloe. I find it a lovely little town. And it just kind of struck me, you know, I said to myself, those loos should be open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, as I say, it seems something fairly trivial.
Well, it's not really.
At the end of the day,
Well, 100%, and it's not always just for the crack or convenience. Sometimes people have medical conditions that require the use of a toilet, but also what doesn't make sense, we're constantly being told that we need to extend the tourism season, that we need to widen out the shoulders of it. And I do wonder if they've been closed because, you know, to the traditional tourism season is over. But you're right. I think, like, as I mentioned yesterday, I was in the Abbey Hotel for a different reason, but the restaurant and bar, really, really busy there. There's lots of people around Dunfanaghy and Downing still. They're a different type of a crowd, right? They're often without young children and what have you, but there are still people visiting, and it gives a terrible impression where you don't have the most basic of facilities, I would imagine, which is somewhere to go to the toilet.
Exactly. I mean, as I say, we ended up, my wife and myself, and we were just having a bit of a dander around the town, you know. And I mean, I needed to go to the loo, and then I went searching. So as it turned out, I mean, I found a toilet in the brilliant Cope shopping centre in Dunloe, which, I mean, I have no reason for to be applauding them or anything, but it's an absolutely fabulous centre there in Dunloe. I'd say one of the best in the Northwest. And again, went to use the loos there. But I mean, again, that's in a private, you know, that's in a private building, if you know what I'm saying. So I just thought, you know, but you know, as we say, you know, I don't think the tourist season's just over yet, because again, to reiterate what I said, I mean, I still see an awful lot of motorhomes, foreign registered motorhomes on the road. So, you know, the tourists haven't all gone yet. And while they're here, they need to use the bathroom, same as the rest of us.
Yeah, and there was a story that we carried earlier this week too, and it was Donegal County Council conducting a review of public toilets across the county, this with the aim of developing a prioritised list of potential upgrades and improvements. The council is also seeking additional staff to assist with the provision of and maintenance of public conveniences in the county. So it is on the agenda of local authority meetings, and I believe Councillor Declan Meehan was the one who raised the issue. But I think at this point we need actions rather than words. We shouldn't need a review to question as to why public toilets are closed in areas that are still enjoying, you know, an uplift of tourism. We shouldn't require a review for that. That's common sense stuff.
You know, maybe it was just a one-off, Greg. I don't know. You know, I'm not being overly critical. Maybe it was just a one-off. Maybe if I had been there the next day, they were open or whatever. Maybe it could be due with a member of staff.
You'd have some prostate. You'd have some prostate day, you know, on you to hold on to it for 24 hours.
Oh well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you wouldn't need to be hanging on for 24 hours.
You need it when you need it. David, you're also obviously go ahead.
No, as I say, it was just something, as I say, on one hand, it seems quite trivial, but I suppose on the other hand, it's not trivial. And as you say, it's a basic amenity that every single human being needs. So, you know, if there's an issue with the toilets being closed there at various times or various days, you know, maybe somebody could look at that, you know. That's really all I'm saying.
No, you're right, and others are agreeing. This caller says, I was in Dunfanaghy last Monday, just after the Jazz and Blues Festival, and the toilets there were closed too. There were so many tourists around, I just couldn't understand it. And I just wonder, and we'll find out, by the way, because I could be wrong, but you just wonder if we look at the tourism season like we do lifeguards and blue flag beaches, you know, and it's just a cutoff which doesn't take into consideration, you know, the fact that the tourism season, thankfully, is changing a bit here.
Well, I mean, you talk about Dunfanaghy. You know, we drove through Dunfanaghy on Sunday on our way down to West Donegal. And I don't think, and I, you know, I would have visited Dunfanaghy often. I live in Letterkenny here, so I would be in Dunfanaghy often. I don't think I've ever seen so many vehicles in Dunfanaghy. I mean, the place was lined with motorhomes. There's a car park there just out on the Fulcara Road, and it was full. It was jammed. Yeah. There's no way that you could have parked in Dunfanaghy on Sunday with the, as you say, with the festival on, with the jazz festival on. The town was absolutely jammed. Mm-hmm. You know, you would, as I say, the amount of motorhomes, the amount of cars, the amount of, you know, strange cars from different counties, from Northern Ireland, from all over the place. And I mean, you know, as I say, the town was just absolutely...
The bottom line is though, the bottom line is, David, and I've yet to be contradicted or proven wrong in relation to this, it's the same with public bins. We avoid using them or making them available because we don't have a sufficient plan for their maintenance. In other words, if you can't spend enough money to keep toilets clean all year round, we'll close them some of the years. If there's a bin overflowing in a busy part of Donegal, well, we can't empty that bin all of the time, remove the bin. You know, we don't seem to have enough of a fund for maintenance.
Yeah, I mean, funny you should say that as well, because again, we went through Lenties. Just coming on to my next, as you can see, there's a second issue there that's troubling me as well. But again, we came through Lenties on Monday on our way sort of around West Donegal. And again, I think the Harvest Fair had been on there and Lenties the previous few days. And again, my wife said to me there was young people, they were out on their lunch from the local secondary school, and they were trying to dispose of their rubbish into a bin on the street. And the bin was so full, they couldn't, you know, they were trying to put in, you know, maybe a wrapper from a sandwich or something like that. It was actually impossible for them. And they were doing their best in fairness, and sometimes, you know, criticize young people and so on. But this group of people were trying to get rid of their rubbish. They weren't chucking it behind them. And it was impossible to get anything into the bins. The bins were just jammed to capacity. You know, that's just another... Mm-hmm. You know,
and I would say if you went there another hour or two later, there's probably people got as far as the bin and ended up leaving rubbish beside it because... But I just don't understand why we don't then...
Unfortunately, that's what happened.
Yeah, of course. Why don't we then at that point sort of say, right, there's an event on in Glenties or Dunfanaghy, and we have contracts in place whereby we can do extra pickups. You know, stay where you are. Donegal County Council won't spend the money on toilets or rubbish bins. Does this mean they don't care about locals or tourists? Another, no public toilets in Letterkenny Shopping Centre apart from the courtyard and Pennies. Could that guy not spend a few bob in a calf and use the toilets? Dunlow toilets have been abused by people in campervans all summer. What? I don't understand that. The public toilets, our tax pays for these toilets. Why go and buy a coffee for a pee-pee? A caller says, I got the train from Connolly Station in Sligo Station, and because it was 6 p.m. in the evening, the toilets were also closed. There isn't even a calf nearby where you could go to the cafe and buy a coffee and use the toilet. And another, public toilets being closed, it's a disgrace. As someone who is IBS, it's a nightmare for me going anywhere. And I'm really, I'm sorry that this person has IBS, but I really am pleased that someone messaged in. Sometimes the toilet, it's not just a need or you can't hold on. There are many, many people who are affected by bladder control issues, with bowel issues, that the access to a public toilet is the difference between whether or not they go to a place or not, whether or not they can do so happily or not anxiously. Yeah. And that's the very serious side of it, which I always get around to because, listen, I've been desperate now and again, but it's not a medical need that I might have. Do you know what I mean? And I
can most of us, we can hang on till we get somewhere. But
yeah, exactly.
Say, you know, you take someone who has some sort of condition, it's crucial.
I mean, well, I've spoken to people on this show that won't go into certain towns because they don't have access to a public toilet and they don't want to face the embarrassment of having to rush into a business. They wouldn't even sometimes have time to buy the coffee to make it less of a... But David, I just want to move on to, as you mentioned, you were out and about, and this is one of those things that frustrate me, whereby there's obvious little bits of maintenance on roads that should be done as required rather than as part of some sort of a program. And Maclay's Corner sees a lot of traffic, a lot of turning traffic, and the old hole has raised its ugly head again there.
Well, I mean, it's been there for months, Greg. I mean, it's as simple as that. It's been there for months. And, you know, I'll kind of preface it this by saying, again, going back to this was all over the weekend while we were out and about, you know. So as I say, we drove all the way from Letterkenny right down through Dunfanaghy, Falkara. We stayed over in Gidore overnight, and drove then the road right through Dunlow, Glenties, Ardra, right into Killybegs, back into Donegal town, down to Ballybofey. I mean, brilliant road around West Donegal. The road, you know, right through from Gidore into Dunloe onto Glenties Ardra. Beautiful tarmac road, as good as you would expect to find on any in any country in Europe, you know, as a top class. And then you come to Ballybofey. And I mean, I'd say there are parts of the moon that has a smoother surface, and that's no exaggeration. From you drive into Ballybofey until you go right through Ballybofey, through Stranorlar, until you get out onto the Letterkenny Road there, past the church on the Letterkenny Road. That road, I mean, horrendous is an understatement. Mm-hmm. You know, right down Ballybofey Street, the bridge in Stranorlar is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
The whole of Stranorlar Street. But I mean, the real one that stands out, I mean, there is a crater, and there's no other word that you could use to describe it. There is a crater on the corner at McLeay's, and that has been there now for months. And now, I know we'll have people saying, well, you know, that's not the County Council, that's the National Roads Authority, whatever, because it's a national road. And, you know, I get all that, and I know about red tape, and I know about, you know, but at the end of the day, Greg, this is the main national road from east and north Donegal. If somebody's travelling to Sligo, if somebody's travelling to Galway, if somebody's travelling anywhere to the west of Ireland, this is the one and only national road that we have. And it takes us through Ballybofey and Stranorlar, sadly because no bypass was ever, which has been mooted now for years and years.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, it is absolutely... It is horrendous, and I'm not saying it's not a junction that we'd be driving fast on. You know, I get that. But I can tell you, and I'm sure, look, you've been there, you were saying you were in Donegal Town last night. I'm sure you've been through that junction many times.
Yeah, of course.
The same as all the rest of us. And I mean, you would definitely do damage to your vehicle there. There is no doubt, you know, if you hit that at any sort of speed... Locals know about
it.
Well,
you can make a claim on it. I mean,
you can, of course.
One of these nights, someone's going to fill it with topsoil and put some daffodils in it or something and take
a
picture.
But it's the inconvenience. It's the inconvenience of it. Of course, you know, you can claim, but I mean, the red tape and everything that you will have to go through.
Yes.
I mean, I would rather I didn't have to claim. I'd rather I didn't, you know, burst my alloy or break something in the car. Do you know what I'm saying?
Of course, I do. Yeah.
I just don't know.
I always feel it feels like the Stranorlar Municipal District, Lifford Stranorlar, has always sort of been the poor relation, I think, in terms of road funding, or at least it feels like that. It gets an awful lot of traffic from the north through traffic as well. And, you know, it's great to see them resurfacing at Drumkeen, for an example, which they're currently doing at the moment, and I'm sure it needs doing. But you kind of feel that things like filling that massive pothole at McLeay's Corner. Do you know what? Often after conversations like this, these things end up getting repaired. So maybe people aren't aware of it, and maybe because you've raised it today, someone will go out there and chuck a bit of tarmac
and slap it down with the back of a shovel.
Go on, Hert. Yeah. Lastly, Dave, I have to move
That's all it needs. I mean, listen, a barrel full of tarmac.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just before I go, I'll say one thing, and it may have been, I'm not sure if it was in Highland that I heard this recently or I read it somewhere, that actual street, Ballybofey and Stranorlar, is not scheduled for resurfacing until 26 or maybe 27.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, it may have been on your station. I'm not sure where I am.
You can patch it, though.
Cross.
Patching it's fine. Listen, thanks very much, David, for all of your points. I must move on. Thank you. Take care of yourself, David. I want to stay in McLeay's Corner, though, and bring Ben in, because, Ben, you're a professional driver, and this issue at McLeay's Corner has been bothering you for some time.
Good morning, Greg. I was just listening to your previous caller there about that crater that's at McLeay's Corner in Stranorlar. Now, I'm a truck driver, and you can miss that crater and a car going around McLeay's Corner, you can keep to the left. But when you have a trailer on and you have to go out wide, you have to go into this big crater.
Mm.
Now, I reported this to the council a month ago, and this man, he needed all my details and my name and what I did and all this, and I told him everything, and I told him about this crater, and he says... Right, I'll send an email today and I'll get that sorted. Now, I go around that corner twice a day, heavy, with a load on a truck that you have to go into this crater to get out wide, and still nothing done. I was just wasting my time talking to him.
Very frustrating. And you can't avoid it in your, as you say, you can maybe...
We can't avoid it. When you have to swing out wide in a truck to get round the corner and you can't avoid it, you know. But even like, you know, from you come out to Ballybuffet, and especially Stenarler, from the chapel to you get out to Ulster Tyres, that is a disgrace. You can't... To sit in a truck, you're jumping and jumping and jumping. More people have said to me, these are very quiet people around Ballybuffet. You know, I had a visitor there recently, and he says, I came through Stenarder there, and he says it was like driving on a ploughed field.
Wow, okay.
You know, and it is an absolute disgrace. We wonder what our politicians are doing at all, like, you know.
Well, let's us get it sorted, Ben. We're going to keep on it. Thanks so much for that, Ben. Look after yourself. A crater, he describes it as. Right, let's go to the ploughing championships. They're taking place in Offaly. Darren Carty is there. He's Sheep and Schemes editor at the Irish Farmers Journal. Presumably you're employing AI, because I see behind you beautiful clear skies. This must be fake news.
Oh, Greg. It's actually, would you believe, after a terrible night's rain, it's a lovely day, clear blue skies, and there's quite a bit of drying there at the moment, which the ploughing couldn't ask for better. There was, I'd say, maybe 15, 20 mil of rain overnight, and if I switch the camera around here, you'll get a flavour of maybe when you go off the tracks what it's like. So, muddy conditions, a lot of, I suppose, maybe wet, but like, you take into account that most positions now have tracks or is well serviced by tracks. Apart from a few low-lying spots, conditions are good.
So for those who haven't been, and many, many people have, try and frame it for us, you know, in terms of why people are going there. What's your average experience for your average punter, Darren?
Yeah, so I suppose what you think you're driving into is you're driving into a big number of fields. But in essence, what you're driving into is an event that's after setting up in the middle of the field. So you have, if I say maybe turn again, and if you allow me to walk.
Yes, please do.
So essentially, this might get a better flavour off it. So you have all of these tracks. And so here's the Farmers Journal stand across from that machinery. FPD, National Ploughing, have a big, presence there. A new one for this year is the Defence Forces. They have a big stand. We look over here and your local enterprise villages. So that just gives a flavour. So machinery is big on it. And in every, I suppose, maybe organisation that you could think of after that, from the Defence Forces to all agricultural stakeholders, Enterprise Ireland, local enterprise, insurance companies, and then what there has been a lot of fanfare yesterday in particular is from the politicians. So we had presidential candidates here yesterday. We had all the main, I suppose, maybe TDs. We had the Minister for Agriculture. We had the Taoiseach. So there was a lot of fanfare around that yesterday, Greg.
And do you get a sense that, you know, the majority of attendees are invested in that side of it, you know?
I suppose it definitely created fanfare, because if you take, for example, the candidates Jim Gavin and Heather Humphreys, you had the might of those political parties. So when they are coming down the main, I suppose, walkways, you have, say, the tarnished... you have, say, other TDs that are supporting them. So they bring a crowd with them. And young kids want to get a photos, families want to get photos. But if you're to say, and we've asked people to understand like this, what your idea of the presidential candidates, and of course, Catherine Connolly is here as well. She is making her way around, but she's an independent candidate, so she hasn't that big sort of fanfare with her. There is a small bit of interest, but it's not what anyone is, say, majorly invested in, because Jim Gavin is, I suppose, new candidate.
We're getting a bit of wind on that. We're getting a bit of wind on that mic, Darren. It's not your fault.
He's running, folks.
This man, he's like Annika Rice, if anyone can remember that TV show.
Yeah, sorry about that. So, So, like, I suppose Jim Gavin is using the opportunity to talk to farmers, put out his manifesto. But I don't get the sense that the normal punter going around is that invested.
Yeah,
there was
yeah.
more fanfare for Michael D. Higgins coming to open it. And, like, there was more interest in that aspect rather than the other presidential candidates, in my opinion, I know.
What's the mood amongst farmers? There's a lot going on, you know, in terms of, you know, how many cows we're producing, how much milk we're producing, decent prices for some at the marts. It's kind of seems to be not a bad summer weather-wise, right? There seems to be a mixed picture out there, and maybe it's dependent on the size of your farm. I don't know. But what is the mood? Give us an overview.
Yeah. So the mood is generally good. And if you take your listeners, for example, they've seen record beef prices. So it's been a record year for suckler sales, a record year for beef prices. So beef farmers are in good form. Sheep farmers, pretty good form, which is important in Donegal. Small bit of negativity around price, but in general, it's been a good year weather-wise. Up to now, prices haven't been too bad. A lot of uncertainty around dairying, because there's a introduction of a derogation. Chagas came out with a report last week to say that if the derogation comes in if the derogation finishes and we go back to, say, the standard level of farming, it'll take 200,000 cows out of the system and lead to a 39% decrease in profit for the average farmer that's availing of a derogation. So that's overhanging dairying in what has been a good year. And then last Friday night, we've seen tillage farmers. I know tillage isn't big in Donegal, but if you take the Castlefin region and that area, there's quite a good stronghold. But there's 700 farmers in Port Leash to an emergency meeting, because what's happening at the moment is the cost the tillage farmers, or the price the tillage farmers are getting for their ton of grain isn't covering the cost of producing it. So there is a bit of a sports low ebb around tillage, but in general the mood is pretty good. There was a generation renewing report launched yesterday, which is very big, because if we take here in the Blauen, there is a lot of young people, but that's not translate maybe into young people coming into agriculture. And the big fear is that in 10, 15 years' time that we won't have enough young people to come in to sustain the farmers that's there. That report is recommending that there'd be a 25,000 payment for a farmer that's coming into farming, and also a 25,000 payment for the farmer that is transferring that business over. That would be great, Greg, if that did come to pass. Minister Hayden dampened it down a bit and said this will all be dependent on the next cap in 2028, so we're not promising anything at the moment, but at least it's been talked about.
Brilliant stuff. Listen, thanks so much for the overview, Darren, and showing us around the place. Enjoy it. This is a big 3 days for the Irish Farmers Journal.
Yeah, busy now. Busy. Look, it's very enjoyable, but we sleep after the 3 days, so we will.
All right, that's it. All right, look after yourself. Enjoy. Thank you so very much indeed. That's Darren Carty. He's Sheep and Scheme Editor at the Irish Farmers Journal. 78,500 people turned up at day one. That's an increase on 3,000, up 3,000 from last year, which is good, isn't it? So more people are heading along there. All right, then, as I say, thanks, Darren, for giving us a sense of what's going on there. If you've got a child seat in your car, it's fantastic, right? It keeps your child safe, but it's only really effective if, you know, you have it properly installed. It's the same when you're at sea. If you've got equipment, whether it be a radio, the batteries have to be charged. If it's flares, for crying out loud, they have to be in date and functionable. And your life jacket, believe it or not, has to conform and be updated and made sure it's functioning and all that type of stuff, especially more of the complex jackets. And Stephen Quigley is the social media officer and crew member with Lough Swilly RNLI, and he joins us now just to re-emphasise this element of it. Good morning, Stephen. I think this is our first time chatting. Great to have you on the show, especially in your current position, your new position.
Good morning, Greg, and thanks for asking us on.
Right, so we have details on this, don't we, in terms of RNLI inspected life jackets. What does that information tell us?
Well, we had clinics throughout Ireland there earlier this year, and we examined 461 life jackets, Greg, and alarmingly, 61% of them failed. So that's 280 life jackets failed the test. And we really couldn't believe how high it was.
And just even in relation to that, are we talking, you know, the type of life jacket someone might have if they have a kayak or they're lucky enough to have a boat? Or are you including to, you know, the more sophisticated jackets that fishermen are obliged to have if they have a license for their boat, you know, that have electronics built into them and what have you?
Yeah, well, there's a wee bit of confusion out there with the life jackets and flotation devices. A life jacket is a certified life-saving device. And what that does, for example, just saying you fell off your yacht and banged your head and you were unconscious in the water, your life jacket will activate and keep you upright, your head back in the water. So hopefully somebody finds you, you come conscious again. A flotation device is a buoyancy aid and isn't a life jacket. A flotation device will keep you afloat for a certain amount of time, but it's not guaranteed for survival. And what the message we're trying to get out here today, Greg, is just to do your checks to your life jacket. If you don't mind, I'll run through the checks here.
Please do, Stephen, yeah.
Look, quite obvious one, do your visual check, just see if there's any wear and tear. And then check your gas cylinder, see if there's any corrosion. The amount of gas cylinders we came across that were, they were actually brown and rusty. Wow. It was unbelievable. And in the actual gas cylinder, there's like a clip or a capsule. It's called a bobbin. And it's like a salt tablet. And so how your life jacket activates is when you enter the water and your life jacket gets wet, the salt bobbin dissolves and then it shoots a pin under the capsule and that inflates your life jacket. And some of the life jackets, there was the bobbin was gone. There was nothing there. So if that person was in the water, the jacket wouldn't inflate.
No.
Check your air bladder, see if there's any wear points. And just make sure you repack your life jacket, right?
Because obviously it might seem obvious, but your gas cylinder, if that's functional and that catapults air into the air bladder, you're in the same problem if there's holes or leakage in that and that bladder can't retain the air.
Yes. Mm. Yes, exactly.
So how do we, if we say, for instance, you know, I mean, we can do our own checks. Is it advisable to get the life jacket checked professionally?
Look, how often do you service your car? Same with life jacket. You need to service it at least once a year. It's probably your most important piece of kit on your boat besides your radio and your compass. It's really, really important piece of gear. For example, you know, we're not allowed to step foot in the boat unless we have our life jacket on, no matter what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we're refueling or cleaning the boat, we have to have a life jacket on. People just need to realize how important they are.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it is like having the fuse out of your airbag in the car. It's like, you know, running to where the life ring is and the life ring isn't there. It's that critical. It's the life and death situation. Okay, well worth checking out. Some easy signs to look out for as well. Some of it's common sense, but sometimes we need to be reminded of that too, Stephen. Listen, thank you very much for your time today, and well done in all the work that you and the rest of the Lochs Willey RNLI crew do, and all of the important elements of the emergency services that aren't always recognised as such. Just some comments to take us up towards the break at 10. I was driving through Ballybuffet from Donegal Town. It's the worst road in Ireland and has been in donkey's years. I've been all over Ireland and have never driven on a road like it. And of course, lots of questions coming in along the lines of what are our local elected representatives doing about this? Hi, Greg. You know, I'm shocked to hear that no other candidates are able to get on the ballot for the election. That's shocking. The council should be free to nominate who they wish the president should be. The lack of people choosing, not the government. How is that democracy in action? Councils are, there's a few things going on. Some councils are choosing not to nominate anyone, and they're doing so unanimously. I did note at some of the way some of the voting went. Others, obviously, Fine Gael are on a whip system. Some people are breaking that whip thinking, look, I've limited enough powers within Fine Gael as is, but I'm an elected rep and, you know, I'm going to do right by my constituents and give them a choice. So there's an awful lot going on. Staying with the election, could someone please explain to me how Heather Humphreys believes that attending and enjoying orange parades or celebrations in the South is acceptable when these people are members of an organisation who detest everything Irish and celebrate the burning of our flag every 4th of July? I don't see it like that. And, you know, I don't have time actually to go through it now. But I would have thought, and maybe this is naive, you know, we speak to members of the Orange Order here on this show regularly. They're not in the habit of burning flags. They're members of the community. They're represented on our national flag. And I was kind of surprised, and as I say, please correct me where I'm wrong, that Heather Humphreys was being criticised for having links with the Orange Order because they work with you. They're of the community. They have lodges in your area. They could be married to someone in your family. I don't know. So, like, as I say, I have to dig a little bit more on this and maybe even being naive, but, you know, explain to me a little bit more why being connected with the Orange Order is actually seen as a negative. I'm open to be educated.